If you live in a coastal city, your community's future might depend on what happens in West Antarctica. Gigantic glaciers there reach out from the continent into the ocean, and they're being melted from below by a layer of warm water. The meltwater from these glaciers could raise sea levels and change coastlines around the world. The World's Carolyn Beeler recently spent 2 months on a research ship in Antarctica with scientists studying that warm water. They deployed robotic submarines and dropped instruments off of the side of the ship to gather data, but they also used something else, seals. Here's Carolyn.
Just off the west coast of Antarctica, a very big elephant seal is hauled out on a very small island. He's about 1,500 pounds, the length of a small car, and he smells like hot garbage. Ecologist Lars Bouma is standing face-to-face with the seal on the rocky beach. He's eyeing his jowls and bulbous nose to see if he's finished shedding his fur yet.
So I want to look at the head, at the underside of the neck.
When the seal bellows, his hot breath hits Lars in the face.
You hear the amount of air going in and out.
Lars works for the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. He and three other scientists are out here hoping to attach sensors to seals to track the ocean's temperature as they dive.
So when the seal comes back to the surface, the data is transmitted in real time back to a ground station back home.
This data will teach scientists about the seals themselves and help them learn how fast warm water is melting West Antarctica's glaciers. A melting that could change the shape of our coastlines forever.
That means that in the winter, when it's minus 40 degrees, pitch dark, we get data from below the sea ice, and we don't have to be here, which is quite nice.
Still molting on the head as well. Still very fat.
He needs another 2 weeks.
Turns out this seal hasn't finished molting yet. If Lars put a sensor on him, it'd just fall off with his old fur. So he finds another candidate, a smaller, sleek Weddell seal, about 100 feet down the beach.
The head is molted, so we want to put a tag on.
But first, Lars has to catch the 650-pound animal.
So we catch it in a net. It will move. We will move. After a couple of minutes, everybody's exhausted, and the seal will settle down.
That net is more like a giant canvas bag with ropes for handles. Lars and another scientist grab it and try to slide it over the seal's head. He looks up at them and twists around. After a few minutes of this strange dance, the scientists get the bag over the seal's head to subdue him and inject him with anesthesia. Lars says this doesn't hurt the seals, and the sensors don't impact their mating or survival. I'm actually struck by how tenderly he and his colleague Guy Bortoloto treat the animal as they kneel beside him in their neon orange snowsuits.
I don't know, I like to think that they are our allies on this.
This kind of seal dives about a quarter of a mile underwater. That's right around where a layer of warm water that's melting the glaciers of West Antarctica starts.
Every time I see and think about these guys helping us, I think like how lucky we are that the biology of them fits perfectly to fill the gaps that we need, like of data.
With the seal under anesthesia, Lars glues the sensor to the back of his head. It's about the size of a smartphone and a couple inches thick with an antenna that looks like a unicorn horn. After about half an hour, the seal starts to come to and he shakes a little bit.
It's a side effect of the drug.
But Lars says the seal is fine.
I will just sit in front just in case that even the drug stayed, he's not going for the water.
Lars keeps an eye on the seal until it's safe for him to slide off the ice at the edge of the island and swim away. It's weird to see this and think about how differently we used to treat seals down here 200 years ago.
Men who were going to hunt the seals were dropped off on the islands with clubs and knives.
This is Beth Moore, the curator at the Nathaniel B. Palmer House in Connecticut. Palmer's the guy who the ship that took me to Antarctica was named after. He was a sealer, and sealers in the 1800s used to club southern fur seals to death to avoid damaging their silky pelts.
If the clubbing didn't work, they would then pull out some long knives and pierce them, being careful not to tear at the fur.
Demand for this fur was so high that by the early 1800s, more accessible seal colonies had already been wiped out.
Every year, they were having to go further and further south in the South Atlantic to find the seal breeding grounds.
That is what brought some of the first humans down to Antarctica. And that includes Palmer, who's one of the people credited with first seeing the continent in 1820.
So he wrote down in his logbook, and we can read the log entry.
Palmer was out scouting for seals in November of that year when he spotted a bit of land he didn't expect.
He basically says, I'm looking at something. It's not an iceberg. It's a landmass. And it's not on my charts or maps, so I'm going to write down where it's located. But I'm going to do what I was sent to do, which is look for seals.
Sealers nearly wiped out the entire population of southern fur seals during the 1800s. On some islands, it would take them more than a century to rebound.
I didn't realize the seals.
Back on the ship, the Nathaniel B. Palmer, Lars Bouma shows me what his seals have been up to. He attached sensors to a dozen of them over several long days in the field.
I have a main page here, which is a very simple
Lars pulls up a map on his phone and shows the near real-time paths of his seals. They shoot out in different colors like fireworks from the islands where he found them.
For example, this is a Weddell seal. We were talking about that.
He shows me the temperature data from her dives.
And you see blue is cold water, red is warm water. This seal really dove into the circumpolar deep water, into the warm water that's at greater depth.
This layer of warmer water has long existed in the deep ocean, but now it's being forced up toward Antarctica. Scientists think changing winds are to blame and may be linked to climate change, but they need more data to know for sure. Data like what the seals are gathering. Today, seals in Antarctica are protected under international treaty. Lars had to get permits and go through ethical reviews to work with them.
I try to treat them like humans. They have their own life, they have families. So it is a big ethical question.
This, of course, marks a big shift in our relationship with nature since the days of Nathaniel B. Palmer.
We always thought of the ocean as being this unlimited resource, and hunting seals was part of it. And more recently, we discovered it's not an unlimited resource, and we really have to take care of it.
Lars hopes the more precise sea level rise predictions coming out of this research will help give us a better sense of the larger changes we're causing in the natural world.
Understanding the melting, the potential sea level rise, really helps us to better protect ourselves and all ecosystems.
The seals Lars tagged will swim around through the Antarctic winter, collecting data until their sensors fall off during their next molt. For The World, Carolyn Beeler.
Follow One Elephant Seal's deep dive and see the data it sent back. That's at theworld.org/seals. And if you're not following us on social media, here's something you're missing, a visual quiz on the science Carolyn just shared with us. Test yourself. That's on Instagram, @PRI The World.